It's May 9, 2010. Welcome to Sunday at CMU, and a very happy Mother's Day. My name is David Balser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. Pray with me. Oh God, today we thank you for all those who nurture us in faith, who have given us pictures through their words and their actions of who you are. Today we especially thank you for our mothers, women of great faith, compassion, and courage who pour themselves into our lives for our good. We honor them today. Thank you for the ways in which they have kept us from falsehood and have nurtured us in trust in you. We come to you today with thankfulness. Amen. Today we are pleased to have Emeriti Professor Dr. George Shillington with us once again as our guest speaker. Thank you, George, for offering your gifts to us today.
If we had time to read all of the passage assigned for today's meditation, Colossians 2:1-10, I think we would find there some people trying to influence the community at Colossae to abandon their faith in Christ. You can read the full text on your own after the broadcast. Let me select a few sentences from the larger text. I want you to know Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. Continue to live your lives in Christ Jesus, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. I think you don't need me to tell you that the Greek and Roman world of the first century had plenty of philosophers and an equal number of philosophies. This is not the place to describe all of them. Suffice it to say that the philosophers traveled around with the intent of convincing audiences of their views of the world, how it came into being, where the human family fitted into the scheme of things, and so on. Philosophy then, as now, was speculative. It was grounded in human reason, in searching for answers. That is not to say that all the philosophers were out to deceive people by their teaching. They were convinced of their vision of the world, how it came into being and how it was going to end. But from the perspective of faith in Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead, any philosophy that detracted from that understanding was considered deceitful. Someone wrote me an email recently with the following epigram automatically added to the end of the message. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. Now, you might want to test that line in your experience. Philosophers differ in their vision of reality because they come at the subject matter from a particular angle of vision. Christians do the same. Their angle of vision is Jesus Christ and him crucified, the same Jesus whom God raised from the dead. That is the starting point and finishing point in all questions of life and death for Christians. Does that mean that Christians close their minds to philosophy, close their minds in the quest for truth and justice? Not at all. Because of their belief in Jesus as the revelation of the God of the universe, then the universe is open to exploration in the cause of truth. Christians should not be afraid of truth. When I first came to Winnipeg in 1981, the president of the college where I taught was Dr. Henry Cron. One of his regular phrases as he circulated around the campus before his death in 1985 was this: all truth is God's truth. It is not surprising that his family had the text of John's Gospel inscribed on his headstone. The truth will set you free. Truth is not our enemy. Deceit is. Our Christian duty is to be engaged in distinguishing between truth and deceit. We might start with ourselves, and when we have discovered truth in ourselves, then we are equipped to move out into our society with discernment. What happens when Christians find deceit? Should we shy away from it, as we would a plague? I think not. Jesus did not shy away from exposing deceit wherever he found it. Exposing deceit in its many forms may come at a heavy price. In many cases, the deceivers are powerful people and could cause us some pain. The call of the Colossians is for the readers to spot deceit for what it is, whether it comes in the guise of philosophy or economics or politics, and then pay the price for exposing it. I know of no greater commendation than that paid to a man named Nathanael in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. When Jesus came in contact with him, he said, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Personally, I can think of no greater compliment for myself from Jesus, a person in whom there is no deceit. Amen.
That was Obey My Voice, sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. Ken Rettig is my interview guest today. On January 1st, 2010, Ken joined CMU as director of the Braintree Creation Care Center. Ken, welcome to the studio.
It's good to be here.
I'm excited to have you here today to get to know you and to hear a little bit about how your life intersects with this Creation Care Center. So let's jump in. Where did you start caring about creation?
Well, that's a fair question. But I think like a lot of roles that a person is drawn into, even if you have not spent a career doing that, is your background. I grew up on a dairy farm and a ranch in central Kansas. So I'm an American. And one of the things about our ranch was a part of the ranch, we had the dairy in one place, but the ranch was in another place, which was at the confluence of two historic trails in the U.S., the Chisholm Trail, actually our land was on the Chisholm Trail, and the Santa Fe Trail. They crossed about a mile from our ranch. And if you know anything about the Santa Fe Trail, you can still see the ruts to this day. I can take you there. In fact, I go and look at them all the time as they go over the tall and short grass prairie. This was all unbroken prairie that we ran our cattle on. And I played as a little boy. I played in those ruts. And I always imagined, what did people see? How could they see the environment? It was something that was simply instilled in me as a boy to lie there in the rut, listen to the meadowlarks. It was just a glorious way of growing up. But one of the things I always imagined is, what if this was all a forest? And little did I know that after I graduated from seminary, I was called to Mennonite Brethren Bible College, started teaching there, and that was back in 1974, about 36 years ago. And within a year, we discovered the Canadian Shield. But now I had a split personality, and I have a split personality because there are two places I love most in this world. It's the tall grass prairies of the Flint Hills of central Kansas and the Canadian Shield. So I don't know how I'm ever going to resolve that, but I am a Canadian citizen and I'm living here. But I love that countryside. And that's part of my background. A farm boy from Kansas who loves the environment, has always, and always spent a lot of time in it, but has come here.
Can you name a moment when you said, this is why I'm here in this new role? It's a halftime role. You're wearing a couple different hats, you know, at this stage in your life, but you've taken this on. Was there a time recently where an experience kind of solidified the vision for you personally?
Oh, yeah. And I can tell you exactly what it is. It was about a month ago. I had a group of 12 students from CMU who came for a weekend retreat. They're part of the CMU Creation Care Committee. And so we did a retreat there. I hosted them and I helped do some of the cooking. And we were going on this hike. Now, I've done the hike a number of times and I know what's on the trail. I can point out the cedar bog. I can point out the Labrador tea. I can point out certain trees when we get into the transition zones. I can point out the soil. But we had this student. And she had a camera, and she was always behind, always slow. So anyway, I came behind her and followed her, and I learned something. I saw a young woman who has the artistic eye through her camera. I saw that trail in ways I'd never seen that trail before. I saw moss hanging on trees, on pine cones, in a way I never, never have seen before. And she was on her back. She was on her knees. She was standing on one leg. She was doing everything to try to get that shot. And I realized something that, you know, an old man like me should have known a long time ago. It's perspective. She showed me yet another perspective of what is this pristine forest, but she was looking at it through yet another eye. And I said, ah, this is what it's about. I want others to come there and see with their eyes, whether that's an academic, whether that's someone from one of our congregations, whomever, high school students, elementary school students, I want them to see with their eyes, but I also want to hear a little bit, what is it that you've seen? How have you seen it differently than I did? And for me, that was just an aha. Why should I interfere with a creative process that is both spiritual and absolutely wonderful and stimulating?
Thanks so much for telling some of your story. And thanks for taking on this role of director of this center. We look forward to how it grows and continues to be a part of the larger story of CMU.
Thank you.
Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. In the month of May and June, CMU offers a good number of one-week intensive theology and ministry courses through the Winnipeg Center for Ministry Studies. I invite you to explore these options in the next several weeks. Also on June 15 is the 9th annual CMU President's Golf Classic. For more information regarding these and other events, check your church bulletin or visit the CMU website at 3ws.cmu.ca. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website. I invite you to pray for a mission of Christian university education. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2. Or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.